It's not necessarily the thing that we're going to focus on, be a part of the continued improvements in areas. And also, as we hold our bigger stuff for long term, it impacts positively those properties as well for our investors too.
Welcome to Multifamily Deal Lab, where your host, Dave Lindahl, dissects recent multifamily deals done by his guests. Dave will extract what went right, what went wrong, and a number of key takeaways so your next deal may be more profitable.
Welcome everybody to Multifamily Deal Lab. We got another excellent podcast for you. And with me is my guest, Seth Sundberg. Seth, tell everybody who you are and where you're from.
What's going on, Dave? Good to see everybody and talk to everybody. My name is Seth Sundberg. I'm originally from San Francisco, now live in New Orleans. Got here 3 weeks before Ida happened, so that was a fun time, a little over a year ago.
Yeah. The reason that your situation is interesting is the fact that you did move from San Francisco specifically to this particular market for specific reasons, and you're doing a different type of properties that most people go after. So yeah. Why don't you explain to everybody why you went to New Orleans?
Yeah, for sure. So actually right now, there's the Superdome right next to me, right downtown New Orleans.
That's where the Patriots won the Super Bowl. We're all singing.
Yep. That was a good year. And these guys love the Saints, boy, out here. I'll tell you what. But my partners and I started working on a property, a 68-unit apartment complex. We closed on an 80-unit earlier last year. And then, so that must have been May, we started looking at this 68-unit here. And I had never been exposed to the New Orleans market before. It was never kind of on my radar. I always looked at the state numbers, right? And Louisiana and Mississippi as states were just pretty poor in kind of all numbers across the board. But I never really kind of compartmentalized it to just Southern Louisiana. And when you start doing that, it becomes very interesting from a numbers wise, from what's happening here, from the town, from the city itself, New Orleans and Baton Rouge included. And job growth numbers are good here. There's technology that's moving in. There's a lot of kind of interesting drivers that are happening here from an emerging market standpoint. We closed on the 68 unit.
How did you go to that 68 unit? How did that come in?
Yeah, so a founder, actually it was through a wholesaler, not even a broker, and guy that does his job well, but my partners and I are just like, oh boy, this guy again, you know, type of thing. But he found a deal and he continues to send stuff. I keep trying to train him to learn how to underwrite, but he's just not that type of guy. He just likes connecting people and all that. So I'm like, all right, forget it. Just send me the deals, underwrite them. And that's how we found it.
All right. So I have to ask you another question. So he's a wholesaler in New Orleans. You're up in San Francisco. So
he's actually a wholesaler out of Florida that found a deal in New Orleans and sent it to me. And
so now it's another step. How's the guy from Florida find you in San Francisco?
I found him through a friend of mine in San Diego.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. No, and that's really what it comes down to. You talk about that all the time, right? It's just, you know, network and the power is in the network and connecting with people because you never know to where it's going to lead to. And that's exactly validating that point for sure.
Okay. You decide the 68 unit, did you look at the deal first? So I'm sure you looked at the deal first, liked the deal, and then looked at the market. Is that what happened?
Exactly. Like the deal, go, man, this is very interesting. But New Orleans, like I had the same kind of judgments I think everybody from outside of New Orleans has when it's like, oh, the only thing I know about New Orleans is Katrina. I've never been out here and know that whole tragedy and everything that happened in 2005, but it's a very different place now. And it's also Louisiana is unique enough from a legal standpoint, from a just being different, right? A lot of Louisiana just prides itself on being different. And so I knew the only way to kind of get a real finger on the pulse was to actually live in it. And so I said, all right, buy a house and move out here. And did that like a little over a year ago, 3 weeks before Ida. So I had my first hurricane real quick, got through that. And it's just a unique place, but it's a great place. And I've fallen in love with it, you know, since I've been here. And that leads to, I think, what we're going to talk about next to him. So.
Yeah. So you do decide to move down there for the opportunity, the markets. I've had so many people ask me through the years, if you could move somewhere, Dave, where would you move to? And, you know, it all depends on the time frame. And, you know, I mentioned some markets. Yep. And when they actually move into the market, things happen fast. I'll give you an example of that. Carlos Voss, who used to come, he was from New Hampshire, he used to come here bringing us pastries like once or twice a week and picking everybody's brain on a regular basis. He posed that question. He moves to Dallas. At the time, it was really emerging. And he's done over $1 billion in transactions in Dallas.
That's great. Yeah. You get to know the market. I mean, you say it a lot too, right? Like look outside different markets, but also just look in your backyard. Yeah. Right? And sometimes you got to change your backyard in order to make it work too. So I'm very excited about this market. learning the natural disasters, how the insurance works, how the laws work and things like that. There was definitely a learning curve there, but
yeah, explain that. Explain why.
From a legal standpoint, Louisiana is on what's called Napoleonic law, and it's very different than all the other 49 states. I think Hawaii has some old European law too, but it's very different from other states where the Napoleonic law basically is like what was written originally. It just stands. It doesn't change. It doesn't get overwritten by new decisions, things like that. So, and that applies to the real estate market. Understanding that, I actually like that thing because there's not a lot of gray area, right? It's either on or off, right? You're either in trouble or you're not. And it's a very landlord-friendly state, but there are some kind of unique processes and things like that if you have to evict people. And one of the things that's very interesting that's happening here just from that eviction side of things is that there's a lot of areas that are heavily gentrifying right now in different parts of New Orleans. It's really kind of a socioeconomic gap thing, right? More than gender or ethnicity or anything like that. It's people that are higher socioeconomic class moving into an area. Then it's kind of like, where do the people that don't escalate in themselves in a socioeconomic way, where do they go? So that's a whole nother ball of wax with gentrification, but that's what's happening here. And I think people are getting past the Katrina piece, et cetera. But from the legal standpoint, that's the way it is. The insurance standpoint is a whole nother ball of wax because Florida is exposed, New Orleans, all the Gulf Coast stuff is exposed to hurricanes, which I hadn't bought in an area that had ever had to deal with that.
How much are you paying per door?
First got here, we were about $850 a door.
Wow.
Now it's over $2,000.
Wow.
And it just happened in the last 3 months. Happened after Ida, and it took a little bit and to kind of really catch up in the premiums. But it's one of those things that chalk up to kind of inflation and just the way things are and all that. But it's definitely been a shock. We have a solution that I'm not ready to talk about, but we have a solution for that. Should give us a really good competitive advantage over the next 3 or 4 months, just specifically in that space. It's been a shock and all thing for, you know, with the insurance coverages and all that. But
it's a good point that you made right there, because I know when we started buying units, we started accumulating more. We went under an umbrella policy. And that umbrella policy actually allowed us to reduce our insurance expenses, buying our insurance per door, averaging like $142, competitive advantage against our, you know, the people we were competing against, because typically they're buying for $200, $250.
Yep.
So if you've got something that's a competitive advantage, it's mum's the word.
Exactly. Yeah. It's exciting to do that. So we have a little over 500 units in the pipeline that we're working through now and dealing, you know, it's a interest rates rise and all that. So we're working on kind of retrades and things like that and just to compensate and using the insurance kind of debacle as a way to get better terms on deals, better price points, et cetera. But it's still early in that kind of space. So we're sellers, I don't think, are really ready to kind of go, oh, okay, like I have to offer some better terms in order to make this work. So
there's like a 2-quarter lag. These things start happening and then the sellers actually accept it. So you went from the 68 unit. What else have you purchased?
Oh, we got a 24 unit that we bought in Baton Rouge that we're doing. Some of the stuff has just been a quicker turn. It took a little while to learn the market. It took a little while to kind of have broker relationships, see what kind of pockets that we wanted to be in. And talking about next is the smaller stuff, but like the big stuff, it just takes time, right? I mean, there's no, you just put as much as you can on top of the pipeline and work it through and work the system and see how it comes out the back end. But it takes time to run through all that, right? And then you add some of these macro factors in with, like I said, insurance shifts that have happened over the last couple of months, plus the rising interest rates and how that impacts price points, et cetera. So,
yeah. So the interesting thing is the fact that you pivoted to smaller properties, which is very unusual. So can you explain the process behind that?
For sure. So I mentioned kind of these areas that are just clearly gentrifying, right? I look for places where I call what, you know, as soon as the hipsters move in, like it's off to the races, right? Like, and price points go up, values go up, rents go up, et cetera, right? And both of my sisters, I would consider hipsters, even though they're on the upper echelons. I get to go, hey, you know, every time I talk to them, I'm like, you guys are moving into this area. You guys are moving into that area. And they just tell me to shut. They just tell me to shut up. But yes, that's happening in a bunch of different pockets. And there are still remnants of Katrina in some of these properties that are just kind of dilapidated, but in these very nice areas, it's not necessarily the thing that we're going to focus on. And we're just going to kind of be a part of the continued improvements in areas. And also as we hold our bigger stuff for long term, right, then impacts positively those properties as well for our investors too. So we get to do some of the short term flips, be a part of the grain ourselves more in the market. They're fun. They're good deals. There's value there. One of the things I love about this market is just there's value. It's some areas are just hard to make work, right? From a, okay, maybe it continues to rise, maybe it continues to do all this, but it's tough to justify true value in a lot of different markets right now. And here, the value is easily justifiable, right? And then some, and there's still a lot of upside, I think, to go. So yes, we started doing the small ones.
Who introduced you to a smaller property? Did somebody come to you and say, hey, I got this deal, are you interested? And you thought about it and like...
Yeah, kind of. Friend of a friend that knew I moved here introduced me to another friend of his. And this guy knows a bunch. He's originally from here. He actually lives in Houston now, but he knew some people that were here that had property here for a long time or just tired of managing it, tired of dealing with it. And so we looked at a bunch and kind of cherry picked a couple that we liked out of there. And then from being here over the last year, I've met the third largest landowner here in New Orleans, and we've become friends and hung out a bunch, and he's a good guy. And he lives in Miami as well as here and has a bunch of stuff out there, and actually in Boston too. He's getting involved in some marijuana stuff in Boston, actually some marijuana farms, which is very interesting. But he's like, we just got to know each other, and he's like, you know, I got all these portfolios, I'm considering kind of letting some of them go. Are you interested? And I said, yeah, absolutely. And he's got some of these smaller things. And I said, let's start with the small ones. We'll get them done quick and see how we work together while we're processing some of the bigger projects that you have. And that's how we got some of this duplex portfolio.
So then you realized that there's a lot of opportunity there and started sourcing your own?
And we're just, I mean, right now we're doing a bunch of these smaller ones just while we're working through the big ones. And there's a lot of people that just send stuff. There's a lot of just opportunity here. There's a lot of these properties that are 1,800 square feet and $100,000, $150,000, but are in $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 post-renovation areas. And
wow,
it's kind of like while we're working through the big stuff, this is a tier five large city. It's the smallest cities of the top tier, right? There's not a ton of the big stuff that turns all the time, right? So it's kind of like, okay, we have finger on the pulse, good. We know where we want to be. We know where kind of the path of progress is going, where the emerging stuff is, where technology is coming in, things like that. And it's kind of just picking and choosing small stuff, what we want to do while we're closing on the larger projects. And we'll hold the large stuff for, you know, 5 to 10 years. And then the smaller ones typically are, we're just going to come in, renovate, and put back on the market.
Give me the numbers on those, like typical smaller deal.
We're buying this portfolio for 4 duplexes. They're anywhere between 1,300 to 1,800 square feet total, but all 2-in-1s. And we're buying this portfolio for $555,000.
8 units for $555,000?
Yeah. And then we're putting $397,000 for construction for all of them in. And that's with a contingency, et cetera. They're between $1.4 and $1.5 million from an after repaired value. So we're in it. We're in it $950,000. And, you know, it's $1.4 to $1.5 after. And there's good meat. It's not.
What's your turnaround time?
I have a good GC here now, but that was really hard to find. We had to go through a lot of folks just kind of find somebody that's worth their weight in gold. And we have now, you know, he's going to need 3 months on these things at least. And so I'm estimating a 6 to 8 month whole time.
Nice. That's a good return.
Yeah.
My theory has always been, you know, when you finally find a good one, then they refer you to all their good friends.
Yeah. And the thing here, I mean, the market is competitive. People that know this market are good. A lot of folks I've found are from New York, New Jersey, or that have been investing in this market for a long time. It really isn't. Hear much about the West Coast. I don't hear a lot of investors coming in from Texas yet or anything like that. But Elon Musk is looking at putting a lithium ion factory, a battery making factory out here in Louisiana.
How many jobs?
I think that'll be 1,200 jobs in the factory there. They're trying to bring in some very interesting sustainable and renewable energy technology companies here to actually farm wind off the Gulf Coast. The big thing here, it's way above my pay grade. I don't know anything about that stuff. And now those companies, they're just kind of getting off the ground. They're renovating 360,000 units on the Technology and Innovation Center here in New Orleans. And it's to attract kind of, you know, a younger tech audience, right, to New Orleans that wants to live here and be here. And New Orleans has some infrastructure work that they need to do. That is the biggest thing that is here. And I've had meetings with some council members and stuff here to talk about this. And I just go, look, you're not creating a new technology, but you don't have to figure out how to do the roads here, right, on a Gulf Coast property. Florida figured it out. Just get that and bring it here, right? And you know this better than anybody probably, but a lot of times the government that's been installed in certain areas, right, has to be on the same page with what is happening in the market, you know, or else they become an inhibitor to growth. And sometimes the kind of old regime is reticent to change, but at some point the market will change that for them.
Awesome. Hey, I'm going to ask you a question about if you're going to give somebody advice to go into that was going to move to a market, you know, what steps would they take? But before you do, I want to plug a couple of things. First of all, if you're looking to be an active investor at RE Mentor, we have a lot of education that will get you started and then help you build your portfolio. That's rementor.com. If you just want to be passive for now and see how the game is played, you can go to passivefornow.com as well. That's me and my deals, bringing them out to the marketplace. You don't necessarily have to be an investor. You can certainly take a look at what we're doing and sit on the conference calls and you can listen to some stuff there. And what a lot of people do is they do both. You know, what I found, Seth, is that a good passive investor goes through the education that an active investor goes through. Yep. And then they make the right decisions as to what deals are going to get into. All right. So somebody's going to go into move to a market. What's the step take when you get in?
One of the kind of standard pieces of advice that, again, I went against to find this market was look at the state numbers, right? And find job growth numbers for the state and income growth numbers for the state. Understand what's happening at a state level. For, like I said, for Louisiana, it's just those numbers are terrible because it's a big state. But when you compartmentalize it to a region, which is what I did for the New Orleans MSA, but really Southern Louisiana, the picture starts to change a lot. I'm not interested in Louisiana as a state. I'm interested in New Orleans and Baton Rouge as markets. In those things, there's a lot of things happening that are kind of growth areas. Definitely, you turned me on years ago to the Milken Report and seeing that and seeing kind of what patterns you can interpret from there. The thing that's tough with that is that's, you know, those are all lagging indicators, right? So you're seeing what has already happened and it's, you want to be in front of that. But I think that sales numbers, how long properties stay on the market for, things like that are really good indicators of the kind of passion in the market, I like to say, right? It's like, are things moving quick? Are things going? And the passion is slowing down right now because people are kind of scared. But what's happening with rate? I think people are just kind of going, all right, let's just see what happens type of thing, which in my experience and probably yours too, is those are the times to make moves because you got to protect yourself. But also that's the real opportunity because you're not fighting everybody else off. I think job growth numbers, I like seeing big levers and new technologies and new industries come into places. And I'm a big proponent of the economic impact positively that recreational marijuana has on states now and that it's been proven out. And
what are those findings? I haven't heard of them. Marijuana makes a better environment.
Oh, yeah. So, for example, the societal impact of marijuana is a whole different conversation, but the economic impact of bringing this, it's a brand new industry, right? That comes into an area. And now like they're predicting $200 million of tax revenue generated in year one alone when it comes to Louisiana, right? Yeah. Now it's medically approved and they just decriminalized it for possession in June of last year, again, is a big thing. It's totally late in the game, but it's a big thing from Louisiana laws like that we talked about, right? Those don't get changed, you know, unless it's going to be either on or off. So that's the beginning of it coming here. And $200 million in the first year with the new industry does a lot towards infrastructure improvements. Like I said, there are a lot of technology companies specifically in the sustainable and renewable energy that are coming here to New Orleans. And those are kind of the big drivers that I'm like, oh, these are confirmed. Then that's great. There's a project. I don't know if you ever saw Zombieland. Did you see that with Woody Harrelson? Yeah,
I heard about it. I never saw it.
So at the end, I don't want to spoil the movie, but they go and they fight all these zombies at an abandoned amusement park, right? It's apocalyptic times and all that stuff. So there's nobody there but zombies. And it's portrayed in the movie that it's Los Angeles, but it was actually filmed here in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Old abandoned Six Flags. And that's kind of the last remnant of Katrina that still stands and kind of hangs over the skyline over the city. And the city has just sold that to private investors and they got site control a few months ago and they're doing a $2 billion renovation to tear that down and put hotels up and strip centers and houses and things like that out there. So stuff like that is fun. It's definitely early people that are here just fall in love with it. There's something have you been out here?
Oh, yeah. A couple times.
Yeah. It's just a very interesting and great place. Some of the stuff I hate, like I hate the roads, passion, but it makes up for it in such other ways. It's really a great, great place. And I'm excited about being in the market.
That's awesome. All right. Well, listen, we're going to play what we call lightning round.
Okay.
Okay. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you a series of questions just to answer it the first thing that comes to your mind. All right.
Okay.
Okay. First question is, what's your favorite day of the week?
Actually, Monday.
Oh, okay. So do you have the... I remember when I first started investing and things were going, and I was, you know, the way you're describing New Orleans was, is you're really describing Brockton when I first started as well. Similar things were happening. There were properties that were like been blighted for a bit. The shoe industry left, but then there were these great properties. I mean, these really crappy properties and really great neighborhoods that we just go in and renovate and make a ton of money. I used to have this too. People talk about, you know, oh, it's Monday. I'd be like, I wake up Monday. It's like, oh, it's Monday. How much can I get to Monday?
Yeah.
That's a great place to be in your head. What's the nickname your parents called you?
Get inside. I don't know. Like, like they used to scream at me all the time, outside all the time when I was a kid. They even have a nickname. Some friends call me Seven because I'm 7 feet tall, but I don't know if my parents ever had a nickname for me.
Oh, the next one. What movie would you recommend to somebody else?
The Lion King.
Would you rather be able to speak every language in the world or be able to talk to animals?
Talk to animals.
What's your favorite holiday?
New Year's.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how good a driver are you?
12.
12?
Yeah, pretty good job. You have to be out here. My skills have been honed in New Orleans, too.
I'm going to ask you, what's the last book you read and what's the best business book you've read?
Good to Great is the last book I read. And awesome. I think one of the best books I've ever read was Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. And you know, he wrote Think and Grow Rich as a real business book, but Outwitting the Devil was a great business book and life book, you know, all the way through.
I haven't read that one. I got to check it out. What age do you want to retire?
I don't think ever.
Yeah, I get that. All right. Well, the final question, is it wrong for vegetarians to eat animal crackers?
I'll leave that as a subjective decision for each and every individual.
All right. Listen, give everybody contact information in case anybody wants to get in touch with you.
Sure. Yeah. Our website is 7footfinance.com. Seth at 7footfinance.com is my email, or Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff as well too. So yeah. And if anybody wants to chat about the market, super pumped about it and happy to share pros and cons, you know, all day long about it for sure.
Awesome. Thanks, Seth. So that was another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab. See everybody next time.
This has been another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab. If watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit the like button, the subscribe button, so you don't miss the next session, and review the contact links on this page.